Father God, we thank you for your word, and may your word be a lamp to our feet, and may our hearts be open now to receive your word read to us and then preached to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this evening's reading comes from Ephesians chapter 5 and reading verses 8 to 21. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as wise, unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening, everyone. I've still got my Colgate Ring of Confidence on from this morning. Somebody said to me, "You're all dressed proper tonight," sort of thing. So I said, "Well, I forgot to take it off, actually, because I was doing the morning service, and I forgot to take it off, and it was too late to do it later on." So there we go. That's my excuse. It's a happy new year to you all, and I was just saying that another year's gone, and we're all getting older. I'm speaking for myself, not for anybody else. And I realised I was getting older the other day. I went into Boots to get one or two little things, and as I'm carrying them out, three of them, one fell out onto the floor, and before I could bend down to pick it up, this lady stepped forward and she said, "Let me pick it up for you, sir." And she bent down and she picked it up, and I'm looking at thinking, do I really look as old as that? I can't bend down to get anything. And when I do bend down, I think, what else can I do while I'm down here? Well, this theme for today is allowing the Spirit to make us more like Jesus. Now, in my daily prayer and in my daily quiet time, there are a few verses which at various times have spoken clearly to my heart. And I've written them in my file of facts. And every day I meditate on these verses, and I have done for a good few years. And I still do. And the Lord, over those years, as I've looked at them and thought about them, He's given me new insights into these verses that have really helped me in my Christian walk. And it's God's Holy Spirit that does this. As we look at Scripture and as we study it and we think about it, the Lord, by His Spirit, will take things from these verses, on various verses that God might bring to our attention, and He really speaks to us and helps us in our daily walk. And some days, I say, it's more special than others. The Holy Spirit takes these words, which have become, I say, so familiar, and He gives me something completely new. It's like a shaft of light. And sometimes, if I'm tired or out of sorts or something is preying on my mind, God has a hard time getting through to me. And we're all like that. We're all different. And some people find quiet times easy. I'm one of these people that find it really difficult. In the Myers-Briggs classification, I'm an extrovert, and my mind's all over the place. And I often find it so difficult to bring my mind down to thinking or contemplating on something that's there in front of me. And we're all human, and we're all different, and God deals with us graciously and differently. But God, by his Holy Spirit, continues to feed my soul in this way. And it's very precious to me. Just one or two. The first thing that verse I want to read to you is from Proverbs 4, verses 25 to 27. And this is what it says. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. And take only the ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. And keep your foot from evil. And a verse that linked in with that was from Hebrews 12:13, which says, keep walking on straight paths so that the lame foot will not be disabled, but instead be healed. So here we are as Christians, we're walking along this path, and we walk, it's a narrow path. It's a path in which we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Day by day, moment by moment, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. But so often, things take our gaze off him. We are tempted by all sorts of things, and we wander off that straight path into the rough and into the mud and the filth, and we're looking at that, and we're not looking at the Lord Jesus. And we've got to really come back and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because if we don't, we limp along. Makes us lame. Keep walking on straight paths so that the lame foot may not be disabled, but instead be healed. And that's a moment-by-moment daily challenge for me, and I'm sure it's a daily challenge for you. And there are many times we do step off that path into the filth, into the dirt, and the Lord brings us back because we have a gracious God. He's not stood there with a big stick, and when we fall, he picks us up, and he puts us back on the path, and he says, off you go again. And that's why we have such a gracious God that loves us and wants us to grow and mature in our faith and walk closely with him. We need to step out on that straight path day by day. And one just final one, just to finish off with these little verses, was a verse from couple of verses from Ephesians 1, where Paul writes this. He says, how rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is the power at work in us who believe. And then it says, this power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from death. Now, for me, that is staggering, because really, basically, what it is saying is that this power that raised Jesus from the death, the power of the Holy Spirit, who helped and strengthened Christ through that experience on the cross, brought him from the dead. That very power is at work in us. Now, that's a lifetime's job, and you, if you're like me, you look at yourself and I think, well, it's not very good this morning. Isn't that power? But it's there. And therefore, it's not something that happens once and for all, but it happens day by day, moment by moment. The Lord has to keep on bringing us back onto the path. He has to keep bringing us back to himself. He has to keep standing us up again and say, off you go, you're forgiven because you've come to me for your forgiveness. And that's a great blessing. Now, in verse 8 of chapter 5 that Tracy read to us tonight, it says this. If I can find it. Wrong book. Here we are. But once, for you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. You were once in darkness, but now you are the light. You are light in the Lord. And then verse 9 goes on and speaks of the fruit of light. And he mentions goodness and righteousness and truth. And that's the fruit of the Spirit that Paul has already written to the Galatians about. And this is what it says in Galatians in chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, if I want to describe the personality and the character of Jesus, this is what I would say. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that reflect the character of Christ, that he wants to grow within us day by day, when his Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and lives when we trust in him. He wants to grow his fruit in us Some fruit takes longer than others to grow. And we're all different. Different fruits will have different problems for us. But God, by his grace, wants to make us more like Jesus. And that's a day-by-day thing. And we need to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then there's that lovely verse in Galatians 5:25. I always smile at this. Keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? Keep in step with the Spirit. I was saying this morning, you know, we had a pal who was, when we were all sort of registering for national service. And it was an interesting time, was that, because I went to register for national service and said, what would you like to do? I said, I'd like to go in air crew. They said, right, you've got to sign on for that. I said, forget it. And so he said, well, here's a leaflet. Take this leaflet and read it and see what it wants. And it was about the army. And it said, there are many interesting jobs in the army, such as parachutist and sniper. I thought, I'll give that a miss as well. And I was on deferment for 5 years, so in the end, I didn't have to go. But this is the thing, keep in step with the Spirit. And when you first go in for national service, the non-commissioned chap who's in charge of showing you how to walk and march spends, well, weeks teaching you to do that. And there was a lad I was at school with, and he was so uncoordinated, it was unbelievable. He could never, ever walk without in a coordinated way. And I often say, he used to walk, when he tried to get him to walk in step, he put two arms together like that. Well, he didn't go down very well in his national service. He was uncoordinated. Keeping in step was something that he just could not do. But we are told to keep in step with the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God that comes into our hearts and lives and helps us and gives us the desire to walk in step with what he wants. As I say, it's a day-by-day thing. These are instructions for us for life, not for one particular occasion. Now, we have just moved into 2022, and the title, as I say, for this sermon is Allow the Spirit to Make Us Like Jesus. And that's what 22 is about, 2022. If we are Christians, our journey is to be more like Jesus, living and growing as children of light, finding out what pleases the Lord, as it says in verse 10 of chapter 5. Finding out what pleases the Lord. And then in verses 11 to 21 of this chapter, Paul leaves us in no doubt about the road we walk, which is the way of the cross. It's not all easy, cozy, warm, walking with Jesus along that road. It's a road of conflicts. It's a road of battle. We walk with Christ. He walks closely with us as our guide and our comforter. But Paul also makes clear in Ephesians 6 that there's a war going on, which I often talk about, because we need to be prepared. We need to realize that walking with Christ is a battle. It's hard. It's tough. It's difficult. It's painful. It's a struggle. That's why we need one another. In Ephesians 6:12, for our strength is not our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, he says, put on the whole armor of God. You're in a walk, you're in a battle, you're on the road of the cross, the way of the cross. And we're not only the bride of Christ walking along with our husband Jesus, so to speak, but we are soldiers facing a battle, facing Satan himself. Be prepared, folks, therefore, in following Christ and walking with Christ to realize that it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Don't be deceived. Life can be pretty dirty. So what's Paul's advice? In verse 11, he says, have nothing to do with the fruitless works of darkness. Tom Wright, in his commentary, translates verse 11 as this. Don't get involved in the works of darkness, which all come to nothing. Instead, expose them. The things they do in secret, you see, are shameful, even to talk about. But everything becomes visible when it's exposed to the light. And who is the light? Jesus is the light. And Jesus said in verse 12 of chapter 8 of John, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We need to follow Christ day by day. Let him deal with the darkness so that the light comes through to us. And so we need to wake up, it says in verse 14. You've got to wake up, you sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And Paul warns us, be very careful how you live. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Be aware of the battle we're facing. Be aware of the walk that you're walking in as you walk the way of the cross. Don't be foolish, Paul says, but understand what the Lord's will is. And what's the answer? In verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. And that word, be filled with the Spirit, which Jesus spoke about, and Paul writes there in verse 18, is a tense in the Greek, which means be being filled. Be being, it's a continuous thing, it doesn't happen once for all. We need day by day to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with his presence and his power and his strength. And he promises to do that. Be filled with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. In verse 19, it's a very interesting verse. Speak to one another, it says, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. I can't think of any other reference so plain as that in the scriptures, in the New Testament especially. Because Paul is saying that we need in our worship to be able to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to the God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Music is very therapeutic. It feeds our very souls in human ways. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I listen to music, I hear music from my teenage days, and immediately it conjures up within me that atmosphere, position I was in at that particular time when I was listening to that music, and it warms my heart. I go back into those days of my young days, my youth. Judith and I were in Stony Stratford the other day, and we're walking down the main street there, and there's a shop that you go in, and it's all sorts of different things that are, you know, I don't know what you call that sort of a shop, all bits and pieces of various times. What do they call it, Joe? You don't know, do you? Yeah, I shouldn't have never asked you. Well, that's my daughter, by the way. I just thought, what there was in this shop, there were all these CDs for different years. And the CDs had all these tunes from different years. And I looked at the first one, it was 1955. And I was 17 at the time. I'll give you a second or two to work out the age. But I was 1955, and I looked down these lists of things, and they won't mean a thing to you. Yellow Rose of Texas. Remember that? Nobody does know. Rosemary Clooney singing, what did she sing? Let me look. Hey There You With The Stars In Your Eyes. Remember that? Someone or two of you are admitting it. Yes, you do. I remember that one very much because I was a bit sweet on the usherette at the Odeon Cinema in Harrogate at the time. And this was the song that was on the go, The Yellow Rose of Texas. And then 1960, The Beatles. I was a curate in Liverpool in the early 60s, and so the Cavern Club was there, and the Jerry Marsden lived up the road. You know, do you remember Ferry Across the Mersey? Yeah, I'm coming a bit now into your age group. Well, that was very, very... Everly Brothers, Dream, Dream, Dream. This music, when it played, means such a lot. It conjured up within me such feelings of the past and happy days. And when we look at scripture, when we look at music, Christian music, it has the same effect upon us. And it takes you back, and it can make you realize particular times in your Christian walk where God was challenging you or speaking to you or encouraging you. Joe went to the Messiah the other week at Royal Albert Hall. And she went there and she said, when we came to the Hallelujah chorus, we all had to stand up. to sing it, because it was such a magnificent thing, and people do sort of take part in that, and it becomes part of them, and it's precious to them. I came to faith in Christ through the Billy Graham Crusades in the early 50s, in 55, when he was at Haringey, or 54. And I remember that all the Graham Crusades, when Billy Graham had preached, he used to sing a song, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." You remember that one? And those words were so real and important to me. "Just as I am without one plea, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yes, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." And that song was sung, and when I hear it, it speaks very personally to my heart, because it's precious to my Christian journey. And you know, that the other day I asked Rob at the 9 o'clock service, who was our musical director, if we could have it with this particular tune. And he said to me, "Well, they won't know it." I says, "Well, they'll have to learn it." And so he said, "Yeah, no, that's okay." And so he fixed up and he says, "Yes, you can have it." And Sunday morning came and we got up to sing "Just As I Am Without One Plea," and it was the wrong tune. Because what had happened, Rob had gone away on holiday and forgotten to tell the other organist in order for him to play it. And the other organist said, "Well, I looked at it and I thought, they won't know this." And so we had the wrong tune in the end. But it doesn't matter, it was precious to me. And, you know, sort of I went in the summer, I used to go to the Keswick Convention up in the Lake District, and we used to sing these songs like "How Great Thou Art" and "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," that means so much to me. And sometimes I sing these hymns and I stand up and sing them, and they speak so much to my heart. I get quite emotional. I can't sing because I can't get the words out, because they're precious to me. Bev Shea, the singer with Billy Graham Crusades, used to sing a song called "I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Silver or Gold." "I'd rather be have him than riches untold." And these words stick in my heart. And I find sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling pretty rough about something or other, and I wake up singing or saying a song, or I've got a tune in my head, and I think, where does that come from? It's a tune of a hymn or words of a song or a chorus that I've learned. And I've got the words right there on the tip of my tongue because I've been grounded in them. "Speak to one another with hymns, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." That's what we need to do. We've had our grandchildren with us for a whole week. My daughter came down and brought the two little ones, and one's six and one's two, to be with us just for maybe a day or so. And as soon as she got down here, her husband rang her and he said, "I've got COVID. You can't come home." Yes, you're right. We had the children with us for 5 or 6 days, and I've never been so exhausted in my life. And sort of, you know, these things. But Judith used to say, you know, when you pick up one of the children and you sing to them, she says, "Do you realize the song that you usually sing?" I said, "No, what do I usually sing?" She says, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above, deep, deep as the deepest sea is my Savior of love. Oh, though so unworthy, still I'm a child of his care, for his word teaches me, and his love reaches me everywhere, feeds my soul." And we need to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in order to feed our souls. "When I survey the wondrous cross, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Deeply embedded within my very soul." And it's so important to be in that position where we can recollect these things when times are hard and difficult, as well as when times are good and helpful. Now, Paul doesn't say these hymns and songs are simply decorative. Singing, whether aloud or in the heart, was, he thought, an excellent way of actually practicing the faith. You might, you know, I have a friend called Walter Stockdale, who's a GP in York, and he has a son who's well in his, I think he's older than Joe. Sorry about Joe, though. Yes, but he is. His son is, not Walter. So you're taking some, you shouldn't have sat in the front row. Anyway, the thing is that his son Tim works for the Met Office. He's a top guy in the Met Office. He came and stood next to me in York Minster once, which was a big service in memory of David Watson, the famous evangelist. It was packed, it was York Minster. And I'm stood next to Tim, and we sang this hymn, beautiful hymn. And Tim let forth with all his lung capacity that he had. And I've never heard such a noise in my life. He was completely and utterly tone deaf. I'm not kidding, he was. And he sang with great enthusiasm, and he couldn't care tuppence whether what was coming out of his mouth sounded anything like what everybody else was singing. He was enjoying this. And we need to sing from the heart, whether we think we can sing or not. Let me just... I'm finished nearly now, Rob. Will. But this is what he says about the hymns and spiritual songs. He says, if you don't want your garden to grow weeds, one of the best ways is to keep it well stocked with strong, sturdy flowers and shrubs. If you don't want your mind and your heart to go wandering off into the realms of darkness, one of the best ways is to keep them well stocked with wise and thankful themes, so that the words of comfort and guidance and good judgment come bubbling up unbidden from the memory and subconscious. Hymns and psalms today can still provide exactly this kind of Christian nurture. They are not merely entertainment. They are instruction, consolation, warning and hope. You know, the majority of hymns, the older hymns that we sing, were written in order to teach the illiterate congregation the basic truths and doctrines of the Christian faith. That's why they were written. You read them. That's why they were written. Those are the sort of things that can speak to us and help us to remember Scripture as we sing these songs. Deep truths that we need to hear. As I say, they're not merely entertainment. They're instruction, consolation, warning and hope. They help us to feed on Him in our hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. They build up the church in celebration and in instruction, because music is central to worship. But we must always remember that music differs in style. Not everyone likes the same type of music. Sometimes formal liturgy enables those who attend to relax into the love of God in a way which more frenetic, informal styles of worship don't. We are all different. We all change from time to time. Hopefully, as we mature in our faith, we learn to appreciate the Spirit blows where He wills, not always in the same direction. He blows where He wills, and He doesn't issue weather forecasts. And the Lord, by His Spirit, is the one that helps us as we sing and worship together, and we keep in step with the Spirit for 2022. Bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us tonight, and we thank you for your many blessings, and we pray that you just be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.